I just want to, first of all, thank everybody again for this coming out again, and I just want to thank God again for his amazing grace in my life, and even for giving me the opportunity to stand up here and testify of the unconditional love that he has for me, and to be able to share with you what he's done in my life, and also what he saved me from. I just want to open up, there's a few verses here in Proverbs chapter 6 that I would like to read from. If you have your Bibles, you can most certainly open up to it. Proverbs chapter 6. Yep, so Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. And these are very sobering words here from God, and I was born a sinner, the same as every single person, and I deserve to go to hell. And God, by his mercy, saved me. This is not a story for me whatsoever to share. I don't even really want to tell people what I have done in my life. All I want to tell people about is what God has done, and just want to come and give glory to God. So I'm going to tell you just a bit about myself, and just want to praise the name of my Lord and Saviour for what he has done for me. There's just a verse here in Galatians chapter 3. If you have a Bible, he's going to turn to you. And if you don't, just please listen carefully. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. And so I was born and raised in a home where there was no God in our house, and we just lived a life just of complete sin, and we're all born, and you know, the Bible says that there's none good, no, not one. It says that twice in the Bible, and there's not one good person amongst any of us. Never mind just me. I just lived a really, really evil life. I was just so evil and wicked. And why we are so evil and wicked is because God has given us these great Ten Commandments to live by. And I, as well as nobody else, has lived by these Ten Commandments. Every single person in here, every single person in the world has either took the Lord's name in vain, or somebody has told a lie, or you've looked at a woman or a man with lust after them, and for that reason, we all deserve to go to hell. There's not one person who deserves to go to heaven. And if God is not unjust by sending people to hell, we all deserve to be there. And I deserve to be at the front of the queue for not only for the things I did, but just for being a sinner. Just my whole life, I was always so frustrated. I was always frustrated my whole life. I just couldn't understand the meaning of life. I just didn't understand what happened to people whenever after they died, you know, and I just didn't understand it all, and I couldn't understand it, and I was always searching for answers my whole life, and I could never find out what was the true meaning of life, and it just led to more sin and more evil and wicked things I did in my life. And you know, some people might have said I was a nice fella and stuff, and I was dead on and all that, but we're looking at each other through a human's perspective. God looks at me, and God looks at every single person, and we're evil and wicked because they've sinned against his law, and for that reason we deserve the judgment of God. God is a judge. That's why it's called Judgment Day. And we will all, the sinner, everyone will be judged according to these Ten Commandments. And God, because God is a just God, because he's a righteous judge, he will ask us, have we kept the Ten Commandments? Obviously no, so we deserve to go to hell. And we have no right to say anything to God. We're all born. There's a great problem. We're all born with this problem, and we just can't understand what it is. What is inside me? What is actually wrong with inside me? And we're always searching for all these things and searching for the answers. And no one will ever be fulfilled apart from Christ Jesus. That is it. That is the only answer to the problem in every single person's life. I had my own business and stuff. I was making really lots of money and all those. I had nice cars and I was always buying things with money, and I was always even wanted to always better myself, to feel better. And then after a while, just everything just faded away inside, and it was just always empty my whole life. And I could never understand why it was so empty. I couldn't understand what this void inside me was that was empty all the time. And I just couldn't understand it. And I was badly bullied at a really young age. And then I just sort of turned the opposite way to be a really violent person, basically, as a doorman and stuff, and just doing things. But that wasn't, it was an excuse maybe to do them things, but I was already evil and wicked. But God was holding my morality with his grace, I believe, but I used that there as an excuse to do more evil. But we're already evil, so evil. So I was just always suicidal my whole life, just so suicidal. I was just always looking for different ways to pacify myself. I was taking a lot of drugs and drinking a whole lot and stuff, and my life was just a real complete mess. It was just a mess. My whole life was a mess, and me and my wife, we just both lived really sinful lives. We just had no fear of God whatsoever. We just had no understanding of God. We hated God. So basically, as the same as everybody else, we deserved to go to hell. And there was just one. There was one day. We were split up for a few weeks, but I was never searching in the Bible or anything. I was never searching. The last place we will ever look for fulfillment is Christ. I always wanted the things of God. I always wanted peace and joy and happiness. And if there was a God, I wanted to go to heaven. But I did not want Christ. I did not want to be a Christian. I did not want to live by God's, live under the authority of God. I didn't want to do that. I enjoyed my sin. I wanted to be a sinner, but I still wanted all these other things. And the Bible plainly states, Jesus says, "Whosoever cometh after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." And nobody wants to do that. And I certainly didn't want to do that. And so I'm just cutting a really long story short here. There was just one day, I remember, I was really, really heavily addicted to drugs, as I said, and I was really, really off my head on drugs. And I planned to commit suicide. I had been around my family, as I said, me and my wife were split up at the time, and I went around all my family, and I knew that I was going to complete this. I knew I was going to finish this. What terrified me was the unknown after death. That's what really hung over me my whole life. What happens after you die? I used to talk about it with my friends and all, and we used to laugh off and stuff. And but I was terrified of what happened after death, and that haunted me my whole life. I was always scared some nights. What is the reality of the afterlife? And so that was alright. It drove me basically, I believe, to suicidal as well. Because I wasn't looking, because no man seeks after God. You know, we'll always try every other way to fulfill this void inside. But there was just one day, I remember, as I said, me and my wife was split up, and I went around my family, said my goodbyes, and then I'd asked my wife to come home with my daughter. My daughter will be 7 here this year. She's severely autistic. She can't talk and stuff. And I'd asked my wife and my daughter to come home and to say my last goodbyes to them, and they came home. But maybe, I think it was around 3 or 4 days beforehand, Natalie told me, I don't want to give anything away really from what Natalie has to say, but she was into all sorts of like witchcraft and all sorts of tarot cards and palm readings and crystal stones and all these things, like this occult thing, it's called this new age thing about finding your inner self and finding your inner peace and stuff, and she was into all this at the time, and I hated anything spiritual, but she had rang me 3 days before I was planning to commit the suicide, and we were on the phone 3 days before I had planned this, and now they said to me, Curtis, I got saved, I'm a Christian now, and I just remember saying to her, Natalie, catch yourself on, just stop doing all this, just stop going, just, it's one thing after another, you're going from all these things, and now you're saying you're a Christian, you're saved and stuff, and I said, just catch yourself on, and she says, no, seriously, something supernatural has happened. She was able to do all these things with her cards and palm readings and all this stuff. She was able to do all this stuff, and just one day, whenever me and her split up, she must have been practicing these crystal stones and stuff, and everything just stopped, and everything just came to nothing. And she couldn't understand what worked, and she had texted her other mediums or other white light workers that she worked with, and they had no answer for it, and so I was alright. Anyway, Natalie came out, and she came out of the shower or something, and she was looking for a pair of bed socks, and she reached into a sock drawer and found a Bible. Started reading under the Bible. I started reading the Bible, and just all she told me was, Curtis, I don't know what happened. I just fell to my knees, and I just remember crying for God to save me and stuff. And I says, right. And I says, whatever you say, I'll stay it on. And so that was okay. But a few days before all this, me and Natalie's dad had a really big argument. Obviously about me and Natalie had the split up and stuff, and what was happening and stuff, and all the things I was doing and getting involved in. And I remember John said to me on I was sitting in the work van, and John said to me, John was sort of the only person that this was the only time I sort of told anyone other than the counsellors and stuff, and all these people, all the counsellors and doctors and all mental illness doctors and stuff, how suicidal I was. I told John, I'm finished here. I'm going to commit suicide. And he says, Curtis, you need to stop talking like this. He says, Curtis, if you do this, you'll go to hell. And I laughed at him, and I just says, John, I'm already in hell. My life can't get any worse. Literally can't get any worse. He says, no, Curtis. He says, if you do that, you'll go to hell. And whole big argument, put the phone down on him. Was really rude to him and stuff. Just that was just my own personality. I was so selfish. I was so rude to people. I just went out every day looking for an argument. You know, so that's why I was a doorman for 7 years. I just loved fighting. I loved arguing. And I loved pleasing myself just all the time by doing all these things. But so Natalie told me anyway, she gets to see this. So I always go sort of back and forth and stuff, but so now after I had the phone call and she told me this year, I still didn't believe really in God or anything, but I was sort of thankful inside that Natalie was going to heaven, if that's what she believed. I was grateful for this, and so I asked her to come home anyway on the Sunday, and she came home, and I just seen Natalie, and I just knew she was changed. She's a changed person. She just looked like a brand new person. And I just seen that she was changed, and I just went on ahead in my own selfish ways, and I got off from heading drugs. There was nothing strange. Every day I was flat out, and just searching all different, and anything I could get, I was taking it. I was spending like £250 a week on marijuana alone. That was just on marijuana. That wasn't on anything else. I was on a lot of stuff and just so selfish, you know, so selfish and so wicked. You know, had a wee daughter there and a wife and a mortgage and stuff, and I was just so selfish. And so anyway, I got off my head, and I went out to be even more selfish by committing suicide. And I just went out of the house after seeing that. I knew it wasn't coming back again. I just had it decided, and I was going to complete this. And I went out then with the dog chains, no real plans of coming back. And I just sat down and I sent with the dog chains, and I just says, "Scott, if you really are real, all I want is peace and joy. That's it. Don't care about anything else in the whole world. That's all I want." And at this point in my life, I was ready. I had tried everything. I was going to commit suicide anyway. I had nothing else to lose. I had nothing else. This is how much I fought against the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had nothing else to lose. And when I said that, when I said, "God, if you're real, all I want is peace and joy," I just felt, not really a feeling, I just had this urge not to do it, not to commit suicide. And I was well geared up for it since I was 13. This will be 2 years in February. We'll be saved 2 years coming this February, the last day in February, the 20th of February. So this was just less than 2 years ago, all this. And but I was suicidal 13. But I knew I was going to do it. And then just my conscience, I believe it was. I don't know. I was obviously God. Just don't do this. Not a voice by any means, but. So I just sat there for a minute, and then I just started having this real fear of hell that I never ever felt before. I just had this real fear of dying and going to that I never believed in anyway, but just really, really was scared about going to hell, dying and going to hell. And so I got up, and I knew it wasn't the drugs, because I was flat out on drugs, and I just knew this was something divine or supernatural. And so I started walking home, and the fear, I actually felt physically sick. The fear of dying and going to hell just was on me and pressuring me and oppressing me as I was walking home. And I actually remember saying, just before I got in the front door of the house, I remember saying, "God, if you really are real, I'll be your best servant." I says, "I don't care if this is real. I'll be your best servant." And I have severely let him down. But I was just so scared. I was just so scared of going to hell. And I seen Zara with Jesse, or I seen Natalie and Zara lying in bed, and they were watching a film. And I just had this real urge to wash myself. I couldn't understand what was happening. I had never read the Bible, I was at church maybe a couple of times when I was a wee wean, but I had never any understanding of the Bible. I'd never read a page. But I always wished God was real. I wished it was real. I wished heaven was real. But as I said, I didn't want Christ, and I didn't want God. I know that for a fact. And I just had this real urge to wash myself, and I couldn't understand what was happening to me. And I seen Zara and Natalie lying in the bed, and as I say, I had this urge to wash myself, and I went into the bathroom, and I washed my hands and my face, and I came out, and I still had this real urge to wash myself, and I couldn't understand what was happening. I had this real continual urge to wash myself, and out in to the bathroom again, and stood in the shower and was showering myself, and I just remember falling to my knees, and I just cried out for mercy. I didn't know who I was praying to or what I was praying to. I didn't know anything about salvation. I didn't know anything about what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for me on the cross of Calvary. I didn't know any of it. I didn't want to know, but I just fell to my knees, and
I just remember saying, I believe
I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I just felt the whole weight of the world just completely slid off my back. And all this is because, as we read there, the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was without sin, was made a curse. He was made a curse for me, so that I could be blessed. He was cursed so I could be blessed with everlasting life. I just remember, I just felt like a brand new person. I just love and joy and peace filled my soul, and it was truly amazing. I was just a brand new person, immediately a brand new person, and I just love the Lord Jesus Christ so much. And what he has done for us, you know, he's his own sinless, innocent blood that he shed on Calvary. On Calvary's tree, he received the full undiluted wrath and the full indignation of God that I deserved. We don't really know what we have. This book is real. The Bible's real. And the more I read it, the more I fear God, not in a way that I'm not in a dreadful and terrorizing way, but in a way of He is a just God and He will punish sin. There's a false chat going about that God loves the sinner and He hates the sin, but God sends the sinner and the sin to hell. You know, He doesn't just hate the sin. And I plead with you, if you're a sinner in here tonight, I plead with you. They cry out for mercy, because he, as the Bible says, flee from the wrath which is to come. There's wrath coming, but it can be avoided because Jesus Christ of Nazareth on Calvary's tree bore our sins. He made him to be sin for us that knew no. He made him that knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God through him. I stand now before God on that day of judgment. I will stand before God, and all of my sins was laid upon Christ, and God is both just and the justifier. I'm justified through the work of grace. I am justified through the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed for me, and for what he did on Calvary for me. And this is what he did for me and every Christian. And we see the way this world is now, and we should look no further than Christ for every answer. He is the answer for everything, and I'm just so thankful. But at the same time, I just feel so unthankful. And when I got saved that day, I just didn't become perfect straight away. Every day is a learning day, and I just love him so much, and He lovingly chastens me whenever I step out of line. He lovingly chastens me. You know, people laugh at me, and you know, I'm standing there trying to tell them about what God has done and stuff, and you know, they're laughing. I mean, I would have done the same. I used to do the same too. See, when I was on the door and stuff, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. But I know I'm going to heaven now, and I know I have an eternity to live for. And what he has done for me, he died and then rose again for us, for me. For all, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everyone, he did it all. He did it all for every sinner that was ever born in this world after Adam. And he deserves so much more praise, and he deserves so much more worship. He alone is worthy. And I just want to thank everybody so much for listening to me. He is a good God. He is a good God. Thank you very much.